Please open your Bibles with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. We'll focus on verse 10, but read verses 9 through verse 13. It's a pleasure to sing, pray, and read the Lord's Prayer. Such a uniting prayer, you know, known by believers around the globe of every stripe, color imaginable. A prayer that was prompted when the disciples asked our Lord how to pray. Of course, that teaches us we need to learn to pray. Prayer is not instinctive. It's not intuitive. I mean, simple prayers like help seem pretty intuitive, but you can't just say help every day, all day long. We need to fill it with some content that guides our prayers. And so knowing that, the Lord Jesus actually gives us instructions on how to pray. So we'll read Matthew 6, verse 10, and as the sermon is preached, please never forget the purpose of sermons on prayer are what? That we pray. Yes, it's not just, that's interesting. Oh, that I never thought of that before. Well, and then we go home. I mean, I've done that myself before, so I speak from experience. But the goal would be that this week, you would commune more with the sovereign of the universe than ever before on the matter of his will. So let's read this Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 9. Listen closely. This is God's word. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, with the Father and Son, we call upon you, Triune God, to ignite your people in the redemption you are carrying out in our lives. As the word is preached and as we respond in prayer. Oh Lord, as Pastor Mick even said this afternoon, remembering back to his days in Uganda when needs were desperate and prayer was rich, he said, we just in the West do not know how to pray. And we confess that, Lord. There is a dearth of the depth of prayer. And thus a dearth in renewal, revival, and reformation, and a lack. And so we pause now to pray, and we pray that you would bless this message and bless our prayer time that responds to this message, and even our prayer time during the message, that prayers would be vaulted up to heaven. Thy will be done. We ask this all in Jesus' name, and let all God's people say, amen. David Livingstone, a famous missionary to Africa, was once asked if he thought going to Africa as a missionary was simply too difficult, simply too dangerous. He replied, I am immortal until the will of God for me is accomplished. Belief in the will of God gives courage, great courage, supernatural, preternatural, non-earthly courage. But sadly, when we use the phrase, thy will be done, at times it tumbles off our lips with a different tone. Some people will say, thy will be done. And you know what I'm talking about. It's the tone of resignation. It's the tone of whatever's happening, thy will be done. Sometimes it is spoken through the clenched lips of anger, thy will be done. Guess it's his will, anger. Sometimes we simply use this phrase meaning, God, I guess I don't get what I want. You win, you're God, not me. Dear church, this phrase, when believed and prayed, can actually and should actually be spoken with a posture of cheer and a posture of durability. For that is what is happening in heaven even now, as the holy angels and the saints are considering the will of God being unfolded, as the seals are being opened by the Lamb of God and history is unfolding. What happens in the book of Revelation? The saints and the angels break out in heavenly song. Thy will be done. God's will is unfolding. That's the goal when we pray this petition, that our attitude stops this silly defeatedness. And that we sing, thy will be done, like the angels in heaven. Okay, we come to our first point. Our first point is, well, what does it mean, God's will? What does God's will, thy will, actually mean? And we're going to have fun because we're going to look at an Old Testament famous Bible verse back in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. It's a famous passage. I'll read it out loud. Listen to it. It says this. It says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. We learn from the Bible there are two aspects to the will of God. We call it his secret will and his revealed will. So when we're praying, thy will be done, we're actually thinking about thy secret will and thy revealed will. Now the secret will is simply God's plan for the world. The Bible calls it by many terms. The Bible calls it God's decree, his purpose, his counsel that is permitted and predestined by God. Ephesians 1 verse 11 says, God works out all things according to the counsel of his will. Jesus in Matthew chapter 10 verse 29 says, the sparrow cannot fall to the ground apart from the will of my Father. The brother of our Lord Jesus, James, in James 4, verse 15 says, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. So, dear church, listen closely. God's secret will, very simply, is everything that unfolds in your life from the beginning to the end, from the creation to the consummation, and everything in between, that's the will of God. So the question is, why do we call it secret? You know why we call it secret? Because we don't know that it's going to happen until it happens. The secret will of God. Now, every time, you know, you see the news in Yahoo News or wherever you get your news, you know, that's seeing the secret will being revealed. Every time you wake up in the morning and you rise for the day, as the day unfolds, you become a spectator to the secret will of God. It is what happens to you. And the reason why we call it secret is only God knows it. Now, it's very interesting. It's because of this secret will, God calls it secret, that in the Bible you actually find out that God forbids us prying and digging into his secret will. You can find that all the time in the Old Testament. You see these prohibitions against astrology, your fortune. Fortune telling is forbidden in the Bible. Palm reading is forbidden in the Bible. Ouija boards is forbidden in the Bible. Reading tea leaves, or you know, to put it in 1970s and 80s vernacular, getting out your crazy eight ball and say, am I going to get married next year? And you look at it and it says, oh, fat chance. Okay. See, the Bible forbids this kind of stuff because the Bible teaches us that these things that are going to happen in the future, they belong to God. They are secret. Only God knows. You quit prying, you quit poking, you quit having an unhealthy obsession, and you wait for it to unfold when God says it's time to unfold. Well, why would God do that? Why wouldn't God let us poke the box, poke into the future and find out cool things that are going to happen and amaze our friends at parties and all of that kind of fun stuff. Dear church, it's very simply this reason. You can't handle it. The secret will of God is so big that only an infinitely big God can handle all of that. What if I could tell you God's secret will right now? I dare say maybe this room might be really, really full, you know? What if I told you that tomorrow you were going to die? Or that tomorrow your mom, out of state, was going to die? How would you live today with that burden? What if I told you the date you were going to die, the age you were going to be when you die, the circumstances that would surround your death, and every tragedy you would experience between now and that day? You ready for that? The secret will is too big. No human being can bear it except at the rate God reveals it. It's a secret will. Now, there's a second aspect. Now, we're going to get to praying, remember? We're going to talk about, so what is the secret will? And then the second one, what do we call that? That's the revealed will, right? The revealed will of God. And we're going to talk in a moment about praying through that one as well. The second aspect, Deuteronomy 29:29, says, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow after the word of this law. The revealed will. The revealed will are the things that God wants to happen, and he tells us, I want this to happen. The Bible calls this by many different names. It calls it God's commands. Sometimes the Bible calls it God's precepts or his laws that are revealed to us in the Bible, God's word. And so the Bible actually provides for us what God says he wants to happen in about any circumstance you find yourself. We call it God's revealed will. In fact, that's what the Lord Jesus meant when in Matthew 7:21, he said, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father in heaven. That is the commands of my Father. So in that instance, Jesus is referring to God's revealed will. And Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the revealed things belong to you and to your children so that you may do them. You can't do what's secret, I mean, at least explicitly, but you can do what is revealed. So let's summarize, okay? The will of God has two aspects. It's either what God openly commands or what God secretly ordains. And we need to pause to talk about one third will. Some people in the Christian community argue for a third will. And we're going to talk about that too, because you actually do need to pray a little bit in this area. And this is what some people call, when they get very carried away, they call it, we must pray for the perfect will of God. For the perfect will of God. Let me illustrate. You're faced with a decision, a person. You must choose between job A and job B. Both jobs are God-pleasing, and so you might ask, what is God's will for me, job A or job B? Either job is fine. It's not like you've been offered a job with the mafia. But neither are we asking, what has God decreed for me? We don't know. God isn't telling, and so we're sort of stuck, right? Do I take job A or do I take job B? And we may want to know what God really wants us to do, and so some people have invented methods of finding the perfect will for that situation. Someone might say, you know what, if it rains tomorrow, I'm taking job A. The first woman who walks through the door shall be my wife. I won't tell you about games I used to play as a kid around that, but you maybe have done the same thing. Silly. And so some have found very strange methods of trying to find this third secret will, you know, and they call it putting a fleece out, you know, as Gideon did in that circumstance. And if it's wet or dry, then sort of assign a meaning to it. And it's always it's either an I or it's a zero or a one, you know, an either an or. You lay two down and boom, you got God's perfect will. But now listen, in the Reformed Church, we don't call this thing the perfect will. We call this Christian liberty. All right? In other words, you have freedom here to do what you think. Either choice would be fine. The governing principle is Christians must always obey God's command, always wisely analyze, then do your best to do what you think is best. And if you try to divine it through, you know, fig leaves or if it's raining or not, then that's going beyond God's word, and it's paralyzing and discouraging, and you will torture yourself trying to find out who God wants you to marry, for example, when the Bible only says, look, they just need to be a believer and otherwise approved by God, then do what you think wise. So we talked about the third will of God, what we call Christian liberty, though. All right, now we need to move it towards prayer, okay? Because I didn't just go through that little exercise to go, well, that's pretty neat, okay. So we got to pray this through. So now he brings us to our next major point. Knowing what thy will means, when we say thy will be done, how does that impact our prayer life? And this is where the rubber meets the road, and this week you've got some good fodder for prayer. Number one, here it is. When you pray, thy will be done. The first thing you are doing is you're praying about the revealed will of God, and you are praying that God's commands will be obeyed with zeal and joy and alacrity. When you're saying thy will be done, you're saying that all of us are bananas and excited about the will of God, his commands. And so we're praying that we would say as a group of people, oh, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day. We are praying that we would say, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter than honey, than the honeycomb. We are praying that our hearts would resonate with thy word, have I hidden my heart that and my heart that I might not sin against thee. We are praying that we would love the commands of God, that we would love them in our marriages and in our homes, in our church, at work, in the neighborhood, in the nation. Because, you know, sometimes it is so easy to do things out of dry duty. I guess I gotta love you. All right, here comes love. Men, try that with your ladies. See how they receive it. We need help here because by nature we're at enmity with God. By nature we're moody and just up and down and we're like, I don't feel like loving today and I'm not gonna love today. I'll just fake it, stay under the radar and do my own thing. That is human. So if you wake up in the morning and find in your heart no desire to do God's command, just, oh, did I have to do that? I wonder what's on Netflix. Pray. Thy will be done. Pray. You gotta pray for it. Secondly, when you pray, thy will be done. Not only are you praying firstly for people, you and other people to love God's revealed will, his commands, and want to do them and be excited about them. The second thing you're praying, thy will be done, is you are praying that God's secret plan for your life will be accepted by you. You see, we are fallen and finite creatures, and it can be very difficult to accept the unfolding secret plan of God. In fact, you must make a decision every day. Every day is an adventure in the Christian life. You wake up and it's going to be, I wonder what God's secret will for me today is going to be. Will it be filled with wild blessings, so wild, in fact, that I'll get crazy and forget God and hate my neighbor and just enjoy the good life? Will they be so bad that I'll be so discouraged and I might even curse God and say, curse others around me? I'm so depressed. What will it be? Well, you pray that God would give you grace to accept his secret will. And it's hard because there are times when God's will and our wills collide and we have in mind what we want to happen, but then we find out as we open our eyes and see it unfold that God has different plans and there is a clash. And one of two things can either happen, and I see this especially with long-time walking people who are Christians or otherwise. One, you can become bitter. Walking grouch because God's revealed will or his unfolding secret will, you're finding it out and it's not the party you signed up for, and you're mad, bitter, or hateful. And so when you pray, thy will be done, you're praying as his will is done, because it will be done. That you would be at peace with it. And even remember, his thoughts are not my thoughts. His ways are not my ways. I'm going to look for the good. Thy will be done. That you'll accept God's plan for your life. Thirdly, this is hard to do. That's why we have to sing even a hymn after this sermon that I have on our bulletin. It's that hymn called "Whate'er My God Ordains Is Right." Try to sing that through clenched teeth. Whate'er my God ordains is right, his holy will abideth. I will be still, whate'er he doth, and follow where he guideth. He is my God, though dark my road. He holds me that I shall not fall. Wherefore to him I leave it all. That is not easy to sing. Or shall I say, it's not easy to sing and mean. It's not easy with Joseph after spending all those years in prison by your own brothers to say you meant it for evil, but God did mean it for good. It is hard when your children have been killed and your wealth stolen from you to, with Job, say, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Of course, it's not easy. That's why you have to pray it. Thy will be done. One more thing. When you pray, you're praying for the revealed will to be joyfully pursued. You're praying for us to be able to receive the secret will as it unfolds. And thirdly and finally, when we pray, thy will be done, you're praying that God will give you and your family and your loved ones wisdom in making choices of Christian liberty. Should you get a job when you graduate or go to college? Should you buy that house or rent for a while? I don't know the Bible chapter and verse to point you to as your minister for that answer. But I can say, as you study your circumstances and take advice from mature people, that why don't we together pray, thy will be done. God will help you make that decision. God controls the housing market. God controls the interest rates. God controls the advice you receive from a trusted counselor. If you will pray for his help, He will verify the counsel you're receiving. He will help your answers become clear as you bounce them off the minds of other trusted people. He'll give you peace and contentment with that decision. That's his promise. As long as you're unclear, I would advise you keep on praying, keep on praying. Wait if you can, but if you must act, make the best decision you can and say to the Lord in prayer, "Thy will be done." Let me close with a story. There was a garden long ago where a big decision was being made to serve people like you and me. And it was a sorrowful garden, a garden called Gethsemane. And there, your Lord, who is preparing to launch redemption at the cross, had a decision to make. He looked to his left and right to see friends and asked for counsel and encouragement and prayer, but they were sleeping. Enemies, he knew, were even at that moment with spears and swords and torches making their way steadily and slowly to that garden. The stress of what was before him was so intense to bear the burdens of all of our ugly sins that the scriptures say that he sweated, as it were, droplets of blood. And feeling the weight of that decision he was about to make, he prayed, "Lord, Father, you know, if this cup might pass from me, I'd be okay. But not my will, but yours be done. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come." And from the knees of that prayer, our Savior arose with courage and strength to launch forward through the hands of the soldiers, through the judgment of Pilate and others, up the Via Dolorosa to the cross. Because of that prayer, "Thy will be done." And he calls you to pray that same phrase today. He promises to grant you strength. As he succeeded and was blessed by the Father, that same Father, through Christ, will energize you. I dare say we have a lot of things to pray about this week, do we not? Thy kingdom come. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Lord's Prayer. And we do pray that your will would be done. Sometimes your secret will blows us away and we're overwhelmed and then we get a little carried away. Other times it's so hard. We don't think we can go on. Thy kingdom come. Lord, we just don't love people like we could or should or maybe used to. That first love the Church of Ephesus once enjoyed wanes. Thy kingdom come. So many confusing decisions, Lord, that are even here in this room tonight. Decisions to be made by brothers and sisters we love and the family we cherish. And it's not clear. We could do many options, but what one? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thank you, dear Lord, for the privilege of prayer, and may we not squander it, but may we bring thy will be done prayers unto you day by day and witness what the mighty hand of God will do. We ask this all in Christ's name. Let us all say, amen. Thank you.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, one of the newest churches in a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We meet weekly for worship in the Hudsonville Christian Elementary School. Our services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or on the church website at www.cedarchurch.net.